This is Leafs Breakfast.
Indeed, it is Leafs Breakfast for this Monday morning, 24th of January. The Toronto Maple Leafs picking up a 3-1 win on the island against the Islanders on Saturday night. And they were going head-to-head, were the Leafs, with that wild game between San Francisco and Green Bay. So I'm sure many Leafs fans had their attention diverted. They're looking at one screen, they're looking at the other, looking at their phone for updates. And a man who I'm sure was in that boat is our next guest, TSN hockey insider Darren Dreger joins us for Leafs Breakfast. What's up, Dregs? How are you?
I'm doing okay. Yes, good morning. What a day yesterday. I pretty much ran the gamut yesterday. Let me think what I started watching. Well, Brooke Henderson, the LPGA, obviously, Tournament of Champions. And then I caught a bit of the Guelph London Knights game, probably a period and a half of that. Then I watched the Tampa Bay game. I mean, the pushback by Brady and the Bucks was noteworthy, of course. So it made it fun and interesting in the final few minutes. But as I'm watching the drama unfold in Buffalo, Kansas City, all I could think about was Carlo.
Yeah.
That's it. That's all I could think about. I'm like, this is unbelievable. So good. I mean, both quarterbacks absolutely put on a show. And then they kept cutting as they should. I mean, this is good television directing, but I mean, Josh Allen just looked like he needed a big hug. Like he was so fired up and unbelievable in his execution. But then when it became, you know, pretty obvious in the last couple of seconds that this thing just got ripped out of his hands, he looked inconsolable. So what a football game, both games.
Yeah, Drags, I'll be honest with you. I've played 16 years of pro hockey, and I've never put myself through those type of emotional roller coasters that I went through last night. I literally thought my heart was going to explode. How nervous, how excited, and obviously how devastated I was afterwards.
Oh.
Tough one. Yeah, soul crushing.
CBS should have had a live feed in the Koliakovo living room during that.
Dude, me and my buddies were discussing Super Bowl plans. We were like, okay, so where are we going for Super Bowl? Like, Dregs, I had a table.
Where are we going?
Prepared outside, ready to be powerbombed through.
Come on.
When they took the lead with 13 seconds left, yes.
And Gene was going to videotape all of this?
Like, I wasn't with my wife. I was with my brother and another buddy of mine. So, yeah, it was a tough one, man. Tough one.
Well, you've heard this before. Maybe next year.
Yeah, thanks.
It's funny because you think about Leafs fans, and you know, let's go back to 2013. We know the 4-1 blown lead in the third period against the Bruins. You think about the blown 3-1 lead last year in a series against the Canadiens and Columbus the year before. I mean, so much heartbreak for Leafs fans. Imagine being a Bills fan in addition, just piling it on. And that's as heartbreaking as a loss as you're ever going to see. As a Buffalo sports fan, Coco, like, I don't know how you
I know we're supposed to talk hockey here, but I'm telling you right now, for Bills fans, this trumps the missed field goal from Scott Norwood, the 0-for-4 Super Bowls.
Wide right. Really? Like,
100%, man.
Yeah.
100%. Yeah. Just because you kind of knew the path was there to get to the Super Bowl and potentially win it if they get by this game. I mean, a home game next week, you get into the Super Bowl, you're riding a high job with Josh Allen. I mean, it's highway robbery is what it is. But, hey, sucks.
One for the ages, man. One for the ages.
But, hey, we sure as hell were entertained, right? And that's ultimately what we wanted.
Yeah.
So, right to the final seconds. That was what was so ridiculous. I kept laughing. My wife was looking at me. What's wrong with you? I'm like, this football game is ridiculous.
Mahomes, Drags, had 177 pass yards after the 2-minute warning of that game. Just pure insanity. Pure insanity. Our hockey insider, Darren Dreger, is our guest. We'll get to the Leafs now. A 3-1 win over the New York Islanders. A really impressive bounce back performance considering all of the criticism that they received, not only from their coach, but from the media, the fans, after the quote-unquote soft and purposeless performance against the Rangers. When you see the way the Leafs played, do you think they kind of took it to heart what Sheldon Keefe told him in the days that that followed from that night in New York?
Yeah, I'm sure they did, but I feel like to some degree it was all misconstrued, or it was an overreaction by many, which isn't unusual in a Canadian market. You know, if Sheldon could choose a different word to make his point rather than soft, I think he'd take the mulligan and he would do that. But I don't believe that he was implying that the team is soft in character or want or will to win. Soft in areas of execution, maybe a mental softness for a lapse in the game that cost him against a very good New York Rangers team. But that was not a stinging indictment of character flaw or, again, a lack of will within the group. So it was a bad choice of word, but I think that the players wholeheartedly understood what he was talking about and didn't take it more personally than they would any other form of criticism coming from a coach, because they knew that it was well-placed and well-earned. And, again, he didn't bury the Toronto Maple Leafs. He just was brutally honest. Yes. You know, the word that stuck to me was purposeless. And at times, I think that word in that game absolutely was merited. I mean, they just didn't seem to want to play as hard as you have to play when you're up against really, really good teams. Your elite level offense isn't going to lead you through trouble. And I think that the reason Sheldon was as dialed in emotionally post-game after that game is, I think that he's seen fewer and fewer of lapses like this, just based on the development and the maturity of the group. So he wanted to make sure that he snapped the leash. You know, I'm going to get their attention. I'm going to make sure that this doesn't become a repeated performance, because that's what it takes to win, right? I mean, you hear that all the time from coaches, from really good players. It's consistency. So when they've got those lapses, then, yeah, it's up to him to snap them back in line, and I think we saw that against the Islanders.
Yeah, I truly do love the response from the Leafs. I mean, it just seems like this team has shown good examples of that, right? When they get called out or they're not satisfied with the play, they show a good response in their following performance, and they did it on Saturday. But they did it with some, obviously, some guys still missing and some new guys coming in. I mean, we saw Mrazek get the start. We saw Dahlstrom make his NHL debut. I'm not sure if Richie is still in COVID protocol. He might still be, or maybe it was a coach decision. We had Justin Hall and Andre Kasha haven't made their way back from COVID protocol. But with those guys missing, and obviously Nick Richie being the topic of discussion here,
yeah.
What is the plan with Nick Richie? Are they trying to move him? Do they still believe in him? Is he a guy that we can still trust to see in the Maple Leafs lineup? How do you see the future of Nick Richie playing out here?
I don't think that anyone knows the future of Nick Richie. I think there's a big fat question mark beside his name in every aspect. You know, would they consider moving him? Yeah, for sure they would. I mean, anytime you put a player on waivers, you know, you probably had a conversation with others around the league about any interests that teams may have. And when they don't, you put them on waivers and away you go, and it creates more flexibility. Look, he hasn't worked out. He hasn't been the fit that, you know, Sheldon Keefe and Kyle Dubas were hoping. And Nick Richie, I'm sure, would take ownership of his play. Some of the crazy penalties that he's took, the ill-time penalties that he's taken, and the fact that he just, you know, he hasn't been impactful offensively. But that's not to say that, you know, there isn't opportunity, that the door has closed. But he needs a break, doesn't he? Because Sheldon gave him nothing but opportunity for how many games? I mean, he didn't really have much choice, but he played him in the top six for an extended period of time, and there was just really nothing there. But because of the COVID wheel, you know, let's hope that the Leafs and, you know, it seems like the majority of NHL players have already had some form of COVID, so hopefully it's all behind them. But if it's not, then, you know, you got to keep that wheel turning organizationally. Or if there's an injury, well, guess what? That might be an opportunity for Nick Richie. So we don't really have a defined answer to the question, what's the future for Nick Richie in Toronto? But if there is a future, it starts with, or if, him getting back into the lineup and doing something, whatever that is. you know, being a physical presence out there, generating a bit of offense, doing whatever you can to, you know, give your line mates a little bit more room, all of that. So I think the future in Toronto, to a degree, is up to Nick Ritchie.
In conversation with TSN hockey insider Darren Dreger here on Leafs Breakfast, the Leafs host the Anaheim Ducks on Wednesday. Let's look at the Battle of Alberta on Saturday night, Dregs. The Oilers able to bounce back from a lot of criticism. It was really ugly there in Edmonton. They're able to get a 5-3 win. Koskinen, a really good performance. He needed that. And Draisaitl had two goals and two assists. So two of the guys that were kind of under fire in Edmonton last week come up huge. What does this mean for the Oilers, if anything? Is the heat a little bit off these guys, or does everything still remain the same type of intensity when it comes to scrutiny in Edmonton?
Yeah, the scrutiny will still be there. But I think that at least the media saw the determined and gritty performance from Mikko Koskinen. And so that's going to take a little bit of pressure off that position. And then by extension, maybe a little bit of pressure off Kenny Holland, who, as we've noted on Insider Trading, has been trying to find a goaltender. You know, he's trying to find a goalie on the cheap because he doesn't want to have to give up a first-round pick or a top prospect or a young player, any of that. But that doesn't mean he's not having calls and kicking tires. Of course he is. But Edmonton needs more of what they saw from Mikko Koskinen. Mike Smith isn't that far away. He's really close. So if those two guys can stay healthy and get on some sort of a roll where they're just average, then I think the other pieces of the puzzle are going to start to fall in line. But, man, there's a ton of work to do. I mean, as you look at the standings this morning, Edmonton's got a lot of makeup games like the rest. But they are 11 points out of a, well, no, they're not. They're 3-4 points out of a wild card spot. The second wild card spot, as I look, now occupied by San Jose, who's played 42 games, and the Oilers have only played 37. But it has to be a starting point, right? You got absolutely spanked by the Florida Panthers the game before, which just added more fuel to the fire, from goaltending to getting rid of Dave Tippett. I mean, there was reporting being done in Edmonton that Glenn Gullitson was essentially just sitting there waiting to take over the spot on the bench from Dave Tippett. I mean, that's how convinced people are in Edmonton that a coaching change, if not an upgrade in goal, is and was needed. So it's a starting point, but they've got a long way to go from here.
Yeah, who knows if the result would have went the other way on Saturday night in the Battle of Alberta, where we'd be this morning all the moves and which could have potentially happened at Edmonton. You felt it coming, but I give those Edmonton players a ton of credit. I mean, everything, all the pressure they faced, and even being down 2-0 in that game, to battle back the way that they did, they clearly still want to play for their coach. So,
What I also learned this past week, I'm not surprised, Carl. You know, I think you know him. Just how far Darnell Nurse has come, not as a player. I mean, we've watched him develop over the last few years, and, you know, he's just rock solid in every sense of being a top NHL defenseman. But, you know, his comments, and I'm trying to think of the game it was. It was the Tuesday game. It would have been after the Florida game, where, you know, you didn't see Connor, but you saw Darnell Nurse and you saw Duncan Keith. You know, Duncan Keith has been down this road 50 times in his illustrious NHL career. You know, Darnell Nurse is still a relatively young leader. Man, did he sound in tune and exactly the messaging that Oilers fans and everybody needed to hear. And that's just a good sign. It shouldn't always, even though, you know, McDavid is the captain, obviously, why does it always have to be the captain that comes out and says all the right things or takes all the heat or, you know, directs all of those things? And look, you can tell Connor McDavid is not comfortable doing that. He doesn't like doing it, even though he's a captain. That's part of the responsibility. And that's fine as long as you have the type of leadership that they obviously have in Darnell Nurse. That was after a really, really difficult game. That was an impressive messaging by Darnell Nurse for me.
Yeah, it sure was. Dregs, we're heading into the final week of January here. I think it's safe to say there's some teams that are starting to at least identify who they are, buyers or sellers. You know, we hear a couple names, obviously the Klingbergs, the Chetrins, and, you know, now, you know, you have to think everybody in Philadelphia is available. What are you hearing in regards to trade buzz? Is there anything that could potentially start ramping up here?
Well, look, I mean, Jacob Chychrun is noteworthy because of age. You know, he's 23 years old. He got a wonderful contract at $4.6 million, and you've got cost certainty for the next three-plus years. And given the minutes that he plays, everybody gets caught up in his plus-minus, but he's playing on a bad team, and he's playing against the best of the best every single night. So I'm not willing to wash it away entirely. He, you know, that's a part of his game that he's going to have to work on. But there is an explanation to why he's being fitted for the green jacket. I mean, there's just a few different variables in play here. I think Toronto is interested in Jacob Chychrun, but, you know, Dubas has interest in a lot of different players. The question is, how do you make it work? How creative can you be?
The salary's got to go back.
And what are you willing to give up? Because Bill Armstrong and the Arizona Coyotes aren't in a hurry to trade Jacob Chychrun. And the only reason they're even considering it is because of the mammoth return that's coming back the other way. So I look more at Los Angeles. I look at Boston. I maybe look at the team that Toronto is going to face next, the Anaheim Ducks. All of the Florida Panthers. You know, Bill Zito's going to do something, and Florida makes some sense there, but I just got a feeling Chychrun's going to end up in L.A. I'm not sure why. Klingberg, expiring contract, yeah, makes sense, but you could say that about a lot of those guys. You know, again, looking at Anaheim, what about Josh Manson? You know, tough kid, a lot of miles for his age, but what's he going to want to do? Does he want a fresh start? You know, you've got Benny Sherrod in Montreal. You know, I don't think that Jeff Gorton and Kent Hughes are going to have any trouble, you know, finding a landing spot for a good, juicy return for Ben Sherrod. I think Toronto needs to bolster its blue line. That's my sense. And you're always looking, you know, for a little bit more grit up front if it's available at the right price. But, you know, beyond that, it's still early and it's still relatively quiet.
Darren, thank you so much for taking the time to join us this morning. A somber start to the week for our man Carlo, but you always bring some light, even in the darkest of situations. So thank you for that.
It's very nice of you, Aaron. I appreciate it. You guys have a good day.
All right, TSN Hockey Insider, Darren Dreger. And people, man, it's a real shame we didn't get to see you powerbomb through a table.
It was happening, buddy. It was happening.
Okay, we'll come back on the other side. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about what happened last night. And again, if you missed it, I don't know how that's possible, but Kansas City 42, Buffalo 36, one of the most epic games you'll ever see in any sport ever. Like one of the great games in the history of professional sports. The back and forth, the greatness of Mahomes and Josh Allen. I don't know if we can replicate that one again in this NFL playoffs, but if we can, we are blessed. The third hour of First Up on the way. We'll hear from Carlo how he's feeling this morning after his Bills were eliminated and what would have happened if the Bills had gotten it done. Will truly blow your mind. It'll make you very sad that it didn't happen. First Up continues. This is TSN 1050.